Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And we are coming live from Rio Linda, California. We also streaming in Louisiana, Texas, New York, and Charlotte, North Carolina, all over. Well, we all over, everybody. So this is Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and we got a really good show for you guys today. We're going to be talking about credit, one of the most important part of our life. Okay, we have a really good host. Well, we have someone on the show. Her name is Miss Wanda Johnson, and she's a credit specialist, and she's going to be talking about credit. But before we get started with the show, I'm going to ask Miss Johnson to tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for inviting me on to Uplifting Communities Talk Show. My name, of course, John said, is Wanda Johnson, and I reside in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte is actually known as the Queen City. So the name of my business is Queen City Credit Clinic, CLINIC, and we specialize in building credit scores, so we do care to repair.
All right. Before we really get started with this thing right here, because this is going to be very interesting, tell the audience, you understand, why you decided to go into credit. What made you go into credit, credit repair?
Well, you know, when we get faced with obstacles in our life, that's when we begin to stop. And that's when we begin to dig deep. And so I was faced at several years ago to where, you know, of course, going through 20 years of marriage, and when you hit a brick wall and you realize, wow, okay, so now I'm single and I need to now, instead of applying for accounts with a joint account, being married, I'm now single. So as I begin to apply for certain accounts in life, and let's say trying to buy a house, trying to get an apartment, or even just trying to get another vehicle, here I am getting denied. So after you start getting all these denials and you're not going anywhere, that's when I begin to study, okay, what do I need to do to get the credit score that I need? And that was a stopping point in my life. And that's when I began to study and to become certified as a consultant, to be able to not only raise my credit scores, but to help others.
Okay, that's pretty good. We definitely need somebody out there, you know, to help us out with our credits. Now, what is the biggest thing, you know, a person should look out for, you understand, on their credit report? How would you read your credit report? Because my understanding is that it's very difficult to read. Most people don't have that knowledge. They can't read their credit report. So what should a person look for?
When it comes to credit reports, the first and foremost thing that you want to do is you want to first start with your personal information. Looking at your personal information, when it comes down to your name, your address, your previous addresses, your employers, maybe even a telephone number, you want to make sure that there's no errors on your credit report.
Okay, yeah, but what I'm saying is that, so sometimes, let's say you might go and buy a car or buy a television or something like that, and so these, and then you get it financed. The finance company, you know, they report that to the credit bureau. So is it anything to where, though, a person should have to look for on their credit report, like reporting wrong information, wrong payment from at these credit report, the credit bureaus?
Absolutely. And I totally definitely understand what you're coming from. There are errors on the credit report, and those errors could be definitely hurting your credit score. It could be your payment history, credit utilization, credit age, your increase, or your credit mix. All of those elements which make up a credit score, and that will hurt your ability to actually get new lines of credit, or it can make the terms of your credit more expensively. So ultimately, these errors could be costing you money. So with those errors being said, you are practically giving away money. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, when it comes down to a payment, and you have, maybe you have a car payment that you just recently made a payment on, and they have not reported it to your credit report. Those are the type of errors that you look for on a credit report. You're basically starting from the top of that report, and you're going down to the bottom of that credit report, line by line. So we actually have three major credit bureaus. We have Equifax, we have Experian, and we have TransUnion. You take a look and you start from the left side of your credit report and you're scrolling across the page because you want to make sure that all information is accurate, is consistent, is timely, and it doesn't have any errors when reporting to all three of the credit reports. Some lenders may report to one, some may report to two, or some lenders may report to all three. Regardless of how many they report to, you want that information to be consistent and accurate.
Okay, like when you say consistent and accurate, what do you mean by that? You want all of it, let's say if you paid the 1st of April, you want all of it to say the 1st of April. You don't want
Absolutely.
One of them saying the 1st of April, the 10th of April, and the 15th of April. So that's inaccurate? Is that what you're saying?
That could be inaccurate. It all depends on that lender. Let's just say you made your car payment on the 10th of April. That lender may report on the 10th of April. The next lender probably may have reported on the May 10th. And it's because due to maybe timely, you know, they didn't get the information incorrect. It may be a day or two off, which is okay, but you don't want it to be no more than 30 days off.
Okay. But if it's more than 30 days, you're running into a problem. Okay, well, I want to let the audience know if you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, okay, and I'm going to go ahead on and I'm going to let you all in, and you guys can ask Ms. Wanda Johnson a question, you know, about credit. And she is a credit specialist, and she's from Charlotte, North Carolina. So this is a good time. She's giving us some jewels, you understand, at no cost, okay? So you guys definitely ask her a question. Wow, we got somebody already want to ask you a question. Let's let them in, okay?
Hello?
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Marvel Harris, and I'm calling from Oakland, California. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we hear you.
Hello, good. I have a... First question is, what do you do if you have some stuff on your credit and it's not you and you've been frauded?
Okay. The first and foremost thing you want to do is file a police report because that is considered identity theft. And once you file that police report, you want to go online. If you need to print out the document, the proper documentation, you can, or just write a letter in along with the police report. So that way you can get those items removed off your credit report. Again, definitely file a police report.
Okay. So when you say file a police report, you would call and just basically tell them I've been identity theft, and then they would send me through the steps to take, correct?
Yes, you file a police report, go online, and then that way, or you could just write a letter in along with the police report and send it in to the credit bureaus. So you can get those items removed off your credit report.
And one what do they actually look for on your credit report as far as getting a house?
the house, you want to make sure you don't have any collections, no charge-offs, no late payments within the last 2 years, less than 3 inquiries within the last 6 months, and your credit utilization be below 30%.
So when you mean by collections, what do you mean by that? Like people you would owe, like for payday loans and stuff like that? Is that what you mean, young lady?
Yes, collections and charge-offs on the credit report to where, let's just say you go into delinquent with an account and they're not able to collect the money from you, it would then go to collections and charge-offs.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm really new to this credit stuff. I just never really
understood. So Ms. Wanda, this gentleman right here, he was saying about what can you do to help him get his credit score up?
We would first have to take a look at your credit report, and I'll be glad to give you the number at the end of the show. So once we look at your credit report, we need to first find out, you know, what is hurting your score and what can we do to build, because our goal is to build your scores up. As we take away the negative items, you're going to help build. So it's just like a house. I'm tearing down, you're going to help build it up with positive accounts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would love that. And so how much does your company charge to do that?
I'll be glad to, maybe John, if I can give you my number now. If anyone is listening, you can give us a call at 980-890-5600. But the cost that we charge for to get started is $125, but after that it's $99 a month. With that being said, most clients, we're expecting for you to be with us anywhere from 4 to 6 months. Some clients need credit repair for 3 months. Some may need it during 6 months. It all depends on your end goal.
Oh, could you say that number one more time? You said it so fast, young lady.
I apologize. People say I do talk fast. My telephone number is, I know. My telephone number is area code 980-890-00.
5600.
Right. And when you give us a call, we will create a credit analysis for you. We will go line by line over your credit report. We will see what's negative, what can we do to get that removed, as well as add the positive accounts, because your goal is not only building a good credit profile, but you want your scores to also reflect with that.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm glad I was listening this morning. I definitely need it. I thought it was a different topic. Yes. I definitely will be giving you a call, young lady. Well, thank you for that knowledge, and thank you, Mr. Brown, for having stuff like this on here. Man, that's really good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Also, for the credit analysis, she given the credit analysis to the people that's listening at no cost. Okay, so you can give her a call, and she's going to do the credit analysis for you, okay, at no cost, all right? She's going to tell you what you need to build your credit up, you know, or to get it up. And if you join her program, well, then, you know, she's going to help you do that.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely want to join the program.
Okay.
I definitely want to join the program. So she got a client out there. So I'm definitely, I'm at work right now. I just was listening on my break, but definitely going to give you a call.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you, and we can really go into details about your credit report, and I'll point out every information that you need.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Mr. Brown, for having topics like this on the show.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, we got another caller. Let's let this caller in.
Yes.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Angela, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Rhonda, good morning, and thank you for your time. I have a question for you. In your professional opinion, what is a good credit score rating?
That's a great question. That's very subjective because, and so much, thank you so much for calling in. Most people that I run into, and again, this is my, you know, personal opinion, is always looking to buy a house. So in order to get a house, all you need is a 620 credit score for a conventional loan. So I would go with a 620.
Thank you.
Okay. So a 620, I mean, do they, like buying a house, you know, they, the interest, I guess, let's say right now the interest rate is about, let's say, 5%, okay? I know it's a little higher, but let's say 5%. Now, 5%, would be for a 620 as well as a 700? Or will it, if you have a 700, will they go, some lenders will go down, or everything stays at 5%? How that work?
When it comes to the mortgage industry, of course, that is not my possession. But again, a 620 is a very, very low credit score. And we do run into a lot of high interest rates. I do have quite a few clients say, hey, just get me to a 620 long enough just to get in a house. Now, when I say that's a great idea, no, that is not a good idea. But again, most people just want enough just to get the house. Now, in the end, of course, it will bite you. It will bite you in the end. But at the same time, you know, 620 most say, now with me, I will try to definitely get into a 700 credit score, but most people, hey, give me a 620, I'm good. But our goal is to get them above a 620. It's just very difficult to say by the time you actually get counts removed, you get counts added, there's no specific score to say, hey, you're going to actually have this score. That is just impossible to determine what score you will have at the end. But as long as you keep building up, of course, you know, you're going to get past the 620 with the 700 score. Everybody is different, but, you know, to each their own.
Okay. Well, I heard you mention a couple of times about the credit profile. Explain to the audience about profile. What's a credit profile?
Right. Your credit profile will consist of your, again, the five elements that make up a credit score. Your credit profile consists of a payment history, which is 35% of your credit score. Credit utilization, which deals with revolving accounts, credit cards, that is 30% of your credit score. Your credit age, how long have you had an account? Inquiries, which is 10%, and credit mix, 10%. So with that being said, let's think about this here when it comes to credit scores. The lowest of a credit score is a 300. The highest of a credit score is 850. So if we take 300 and we minus it from the 850, what do we get? We get 550 points, right? So every 550 points that we can, say, obtain in order to get a good 850 credit score, how is that possible? Again, the payment history, if 35% is payment history, that is 192.5 points. That is the maximum you can get for that category. So with 12 consecutive months, if you continue to make your payments on time, you will earn that payment history. Take into consideration your credit utilization. I've already mentioned it was 30%. That is 165 points. That is the maximum you can get for that category. So you will always want to make sure you keep your credit cards at 30% or below. And I'm going to mention the last three, which is the credit age. I've told you it was 15%. That is 82.5 points. That's the maximum. Inquiries is 55 points. That's the maximum, as well as your credit mix. Why did I mention all those points? I mentioned all those points because all those points equals 550.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying, yeah.
Right. And it's a lot to go into detail. So, you know, if someone was to really call me, I can really explain how a credit score. So let's just say you don't want to set a 620. You want a 700. You want an 850. We will look at your credit report and say, okay, this is what you're missing. This is an ingredient. It's just like baking a cake. If you don't have all the proper ingredients, that cake is not going to come out right. It's not going to look right. It's not going to taste right. The same thing with a credit score. I have to look at your credit report each individually and then say, okay, you are missing credit utilization. You're missing revolving accounts. You're missing installments account, because we got to have that ingredient in order to get to an 850 credit score, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. No, anything. I mean, you. So what you think about? Hold on. I got a good one for you. You mentioned something about you have is more than three credit bureaus. I remember you was talking about that a while back when I was talking with you. So, what are these other bureaus for, and who are they?
Right. Okay. So we do have the three main credit bureaus, which is Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And there are over maybe 300 secondary credit bureaus. And just to name a few of those, it's like LexisNexis, Innovis, CoreLogico, et cetera. So the list goes on and on. These other secondary bureaus hold other information. Let's just say rental history, for example. They report certain information. They house maybe all rental history. Another company may house when just bankruptcies. Another secondary company may house something else. So each individual has their own information that they house. Let's say you go to the bank and maybe you didn't pay the bank their money back. So a certain secondary company will just house all of that information. Secondary bureaus, they each have their own information that they obtain. And they are also, I mean, we're not going to exclude them, because the credit bureaus does nothing but send information through the EOSTRA system to secondary bureaus, to creditors, just to verify accounts. And then some accounts may come back validated.
Okay, so let's say if I'm out there and I'm trying to get a car, okay, for example, a car, and so the car dealer, he goes on and he send try to get my credit report, right? So they look at my credit report, look at the scores, but then do they go just with TransUnion and Equifax and Experian, or do they go with another credit company?
They have their own lenders that they may pull information from or report to. Not all lenders report to all three of the credit bureaus. One may report to one, they may report to two, or they may report to all three.
So in your professional opinion, what is a good way for a person, let's say a person credit is bad, what is a good way for them to start to get their credit together?
First obtain a copy of their credit report. You can do that from annualcreditreport.com. Now, looking at your credit report, that is your entire credit profile, and it would not have your credit scores. If you want to see your credit scores, you can actually go to any of your lenders. They have several apps that may have your credit scores, or you can just go to myfico.com. But you must first start to look at your credit report. And if you're having trouble reading it, of course, you want to get someone that knows how to read a credit report and that can tell you the errors there's actually reporting on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we got about maybe, I would say, 10 minutes left on the show. You know, so if anybody else want to ask a question, please raise, you know, press 1, and I'll go ahead on and let you in. So we're going to do this 10 minutes, and then we're going to thank Miss Wanda Johnson for coming on the show and giving us some knowledge. You know, and Miss Johnson, you know, if you got any, I mean, if you want to tell the audience anything, you know, that you would suggest, you know, that they do, because, or if you got something to say, or whatever you got to say, say it. You know, turn the audience on. Give the audience some juice.
Okay. Well, I do know that there's quite, a few people that may not just have bad credit. Some just may not have no credit. And no credit is basically, it's like bad credit. So you probably want to say, well, Wanda, how can I establish my credit? And, you know, there's a big catch-22 of trying to get your credit established. Sometimes it could be difficulty opening a line of credit to build your FICO score when you don't even have a good score at all, period. So just a few things to really get you started. If you are looking to start building your credit, you first want to apply for a secured credit card. A secured credit card is like a card where you provide cash collateral for the line of credit. And FICO scores, they look at secured cards the same as they would do any other credit card. Most banks and lending institutions, they not only offer secured cards, but most also report secured card activity to the credit bureaus. The second thing you may possibly want to do is you can actually get a friend or family member with good credit to be a co-applicant for you. This will also help you establish your credit history, or if they're willing to authorize you on their card. I mean, it's a lot to ask for, but if they're willing, it's a good way to start growing your credit history also. And you definitely, you know, we as in general, adopt the mindset to where we see the length of the credit history as part of something long-term. There's something, you know, it's a credit strategy, and we want to definitely make use of it wisely. So use your card, but keep the balances low, definitely pay on time. And if you do so, you'll find yourself well on the road to building a strong credit history and that you can put to work whenever you need credit. But payment history is your number one thing you want to do as far as paying the bills on time, because that is the most top when it comes to your credit score. It is 35% of your credit score.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you're a person, you know, you're married, and all of a sudden you the marriage is not working and things like that. Now, can that, you know, and you've trying to fight. They're not paying their bills, but y'all was married and y'all bought the stuff together. Is it any kind of way to where as though you can, because if y'all not paying, well, both of y'all credit gonna go bad, right? Okay,
that
but
is,
if
right.
Is it any kind of way? To where as though you can keep your credit up, anyhow, if the other person credit go bad.
Well, if it's a joint account, that's very, very difficult because now it's on both of your credit reports. So if that account has already went into delinquent status, failure, you know, to make any payments by both parties, the best thing I would try to do is definitely try to get that account removed if it's a closed account.
So, could you get that account removed if it's a closed account? Can you get that account removed from
each of them? It would be on both of their credit profiles because it's a joint account. So
right.
even if it's on my credit report, I can dispute it because it's my personally credit report. Even though it's a joint account, I can definitely try to get disputed and have it removed from my account now. again, there's a lot of information that goes into this. Maybe they have information that is reported inaccurately. Why would you want to get the count removed? If it's your debt, then okay, this is another whole topic. But if you see any inconsistencies, again, you have to factually dispute this account. That's the only way this account may be removed, because it can stay on your credit report for 7 years. 7 years. So again, this is a conversation like a 101. Okay, why would you need to discount? Is this account actually factually yours? And you've actually, you know, hey, you went delinquent on it. Because we don't want to do anything that is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There could be errors
okay.
on there. If you have errors on there, definitely we want to get these accounts removed.
Right. But let's say if the account, you know, that's on your record, it's a legal account, okay, because both of y'all applied for the loan, y'all got the loan, and then you broke up. You tried to pay, but he not paying, or vice versa. You know, and it went to collection, closed account, and whatever. Could you personally, you know, call the credit bureau and say, well, can we make a deal to get that off of my account? I don't care if you keep it on his account or her account, you know. But get it
well,
off of my
bureau,
account. What can I do?
Right.
What can
the
I do to
bureau,
get it off my account?
Right. We wouldn't contact the credit bureaus. You would have to contact the lenders themselves. If it been into, when it's a collections, you would have to make contact with them to try to see. They would do a pay to delete. So you would have to negotiate with them and then get it in writing first before you try to make any payments on that.
So, in other words, what you're saying, is like a contract. You know, you get them to agree, okay, well, if you give us $300, we'll take this off of your account, but we're going to keep it on his account. Is that how
that
works, or
it
have to be?
It could be possible. It all depends on the lender. But the most important thing is that whenever you're making any type of verbal agreement over the phone, you want it in writing. And I wouldn't make any payments, because there's a lot of people I run into that make their payments to them and it's still on their credit report today. You want that letter first before you send any money to them. Down on your credit report that you paid less than, you know, the agreed amount, guess what? That's still hurting your credit score. It's on your credit report that you settled for less. And so, of course, you want to dispute these accounts and get them removed.
A lot of people say if you got something on your credit report, okay, like an old debt or whatever, it's best for you to not pay that off. Just leave it on there until it falls off, because if you pay it off, it's still going to stay on there.
That is correct. Definitely for collections, charge-offs. I tell everyone, please, you know, don't pay it, because just exactly what I just said, you make these payments, it's going to still remain on your credit report. So, of course, if it's already been into collections, it went into charge-off, then you want to find someone that can assist you to get that count removed. Or you just have to wait for 7 years.
So it can be removed then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, well, we got another caller. Let's see. Let's let this caller in. Hey,
John.
State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Dan from Brooks calling out of Elk Grove, California.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Brooks.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing good, John. Good show today. I'd like to congratulate the lady. She's giving out some good nuggets.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any questions you want to ask her?
I want to make some comments if it's okay.
Sure.
Because Yeah, so one thing that happened to me was I had some bad credit years ago, and it already fallen off of my credit report, you know. But sometimes these companies, they'll sell that information to a secondary company, and that company will be calling you up, you know, wanting you to pay it off, and it's already off your credit, you know. And but if you pay, they tell me if you pay $1 on it, it'll come back on there. So I think that kind of go along with what the lady was saying. But you have to watch out for the secondary companies calling you up, you know, on something that's already not even on your credit report. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to add in.
Okay, so yes, Ms. Wanda. Now, like what he was saying, let's say if something did fall off your credit. Okay, what can you do to protect so it won't be back on come on your credit again?
Right. So what happens is the reason why. So let's just say, like you said, an item fall off your credit report. And then you turn around and here it is back on your credit report. It's because debt junk buyers, they buy debt pennies on the dollar. So anytime you actually have that item taken off, well, guess what? Another junk debt buyer, he just bought all that debt. And the only time it would report back on your credit report is because now another whole collection agency has it. Now they're going to start keep coming after you, trying to get the money, and now it's back on your credit report. So you just got to go back through the process again of just getting it disputed or removed from your report. So and the only time it will reappear is if another junk debt buyer. So I would definitely write a letter into the credit bureaus and let them know, hey, this item has been reinserted back into my credit report, and they tried to go back through the disputing process and have it removed.
Oh, you have to go back to the disputing process to have it removed.
Absolutely.
But what
okay,
happened?
You can go to
now,
the dispute credit bureaus as well as the collection agency, the furnisher.
Uh-huh. So now let's say, for example, if you get something off somebody's credit, right? Now it then fell off, and if it come back on, you saying that they have to get back with the credit bureau and say or write a letter to them and say this item right here was disputed once before, and they took it off my credit report. Now you guys putting it back on. Can you please remove that? Now let's say if they ask you for proof that it was taken off, how can you get proof?
You would have the letter. In your letter in the mail, if the item has actually been taken from your credit report, so you would definitely
uh-huh.
you can use that information.
So
we also have rights as consumers as well. If a credit reporting company violates the Federal Credit Reporting Act, then they're held liable for actual damages and attorney fees. So we have rights just like they have rights.
Okay. So in other words, what you're saying that if they let's say put that back on, they take it off, and then they put it back on, well, then, you know, that they can get in trouble for doing that.
Right. If they've actually been taken off and you've actually proven to them, hey, listen, this has been deleted from my account, then you need to file a complaint. And you definitely want to you know, log online, go on to Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is the CFPB, and look on there and just find out what are your rights as a consumer.
Say that again to the audience, that you know, where you say they have to log in, I mean, go on. Well, what is that website again?
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is called the CFPB, that is just a U.S. government agency that makes sure you're treated fairly by the banks, lenders, and other financial institutions. Now, if you feel like you've been, if you've been treated deceptive, unfair practices, then there's an FTC guideline. FTC regulate deceptive and unfair practices in our marketplace. So we do have protection laws. But definitely follow
and,
the state.
And so you just get in contact with them, like the FTC, and follow complaint with them.
Right.
A report
absolutely.
With them, and they would look into it.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we got 3 minutes left on the show, you guys. I thought it was 10 minutes, but my glasses must have needed cleaning or something. So it's 3 minutes we got left, you know, so we're going to start closing out. And I asked Ms. Johnson, you know, if she got anything positive to say or anything last-minute say to the audience, please go ahead on and say it, and I'm going to say it, and then we're going to close it out.
I would just like to thank everyone for inviting me on to the show, but if you want to get more detail or more information about your credit report, feel free to look me up on the Internet, Queen City Credit Clinic, or give me a call at 980-890-5600. Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank Ms. Johnson for coming on the show. We had it was a really good show, and I want to thank Mr. Jensen Brooks for calling in. I want to thank Mr. Harris for calling in, and you know, I want to thank everybody that called in, you know, and thank you guys so much. Today is Saturday. And the Super Bowl, well, the whoever win the game tomorrow going to the Super Bowl. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going for the 49ers. So I'm hoping the 49ers win, you know. So, but everybody, you know, y'all have a good rest of the day. God bless y'all. And with that said, I'm going to say good night. Well, you know, y'all have the rest of the day. Yeah, y'all enjoy the rest of the day, okay? So y'all have a good time. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Ms. Wanda.
You're welcome. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.